The following is an audio recording of the impact of the word eternity. Collectively, these recordings form an audio history.
Oh, I remember hearing about Arthur Stace and eternity. One of my little sisters was a movie buff, and she alerted me to the movie about Arthur Stace and the mysterious legend of the man who would go around on pavements writing the word eternity. It was a great concept, and so I've known about the word for a long time. There was a documentary about Arthur Stace and eternity, I think, about 10 years ago. I'd heard about eternity probably whilst I was at school. I never saw an eternity sign. I've never seen one. I think there is one still in existence, which I think is held at the Town Hall in Sydney. So one of his images remains, but that was the beauty of his message, is that they just disappeared within a couple of days with people walking over the pavement. Yeah, a message written in chalk, a profound message, a strong word, gone within a couple of days. It's a really nice, sort of almost haunting message. I just think it's Arthur Stace was a very understated guy. He just seemed to do most of this at night, didn't want any fame, wrote the word, a mysterious word that would appear one day and be gone the next. And when it's a strong word like eternity, I think that's a really powerful combination, the fact that it's here one day and gone the next, but a strong message. I think that's... And you can see how it's become such an Australian word when it was used in Sydney for the 2000 New Year's Eve celebrations on Sydney Harbour. Yeah, it's become a real Australian word. Oh, well, I remember the Millennium Fireworks, 2000 Sydney fireworks, great display as always, and eternity appearing on the Sydney Harbour Bridge was a pretty profound message and a great homage to Arthur Stace, who's created these words on a pavement, and suddenly there it is emblazoned on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Fantastic, and it just goes to show sometimes what you can achieve, as a quiet achiever, just doing something he was passionate about, and look what an impact it's had. I watched on telly. I was here, actually, in Tathra, watching the Millennium 2000 New Year's celebrations on TV. And there, eternity came up. It was a powerful moment. So I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I fix arthritic hips and straighten bent bones, basically. And I've been living in Tathra for about 25 years. Always wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon on the south coast of New South Wales. And I love living down here. It's busy. I work hard. There's lots of bent bones coming in through the emergency department, and lots of people with arthritis. So, we've got a good team here in Bega. We've got to set up a great orthopaedic unit and a great place to live. So I'm pretty happy that I've landed on the far south coast as an orthopaedic surgeon, been able to make a career for myself and live in one of the most beautiful spots on the planet, in my opinion. Well, there's quite a long story behind that. So I became interested in climate change in 2006. I was sitting on the on Tathra Beach on New Year's Day reading Tim Flannery's The Weathermakers, and so I read through his book. I read it in a day, and it was a bad day to start reading a book about climate change because it was the hottest day ever recorded at the Tathra Surf Club by 4 degrees. It was a stinking hot New Year's Day, 2006, reading a book about climate change. It all seemed to make sense. It wasn't that complicated. Carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas. Atmospheric carbon dioxide's going up because of human activity, which is warming the planet, which is rising sea levels, which is changing rainfall patterns, all sorts of ramifications of a warming planet. I read it and I thought, I've got to tell someone about this. This is such an obvious threat. So my wife very wisely said I better read more than one book about it. So I spent 5 months reading everything I could about climate change, came to the very firm conclusion that it was a real threat, that the threat was obvious, and we had a simple solution. And so then I thought, well, what am I going to do now? And I didn't really know what to do. So I thought, what about a human sign on Tathra Beach? I'd never done a human sign before. I'd never even seen a human sign. And thought, oh, we'll give it a crack. So 5 months after first reading Tim Flannery's The Weathermakers, we got 3,000 people to come down to Tathra Beach. Tathra's got a population of about 1,000, so we almost tripled the population of the town for the day. And we did a human sign. And that human sign was clean energy for eternity. And, you know, sounded like a good slogan, clean energy, that was the way forward for eternity. You know, if we want to look after the future for our grandkids, we've got to be thinking about solving this climate crisis. And one of the ways to do that is with clean energy. So, clean energy for eternity, that was my first action on climate change. And with 3,000 people turning up, I thought we were onto a good thing. I thought we had a message that was striking a chord with people. And so then we formed the community group, Clean Energy for Eternity, and we've been going hard since 2006, trying to raise awareness about climate change, trying to look at community solutions to the problem. We're trying to set targets for our emissions reduction targets for our region, trying to set up community buildings with solar panels. We've created Australia's largest solar sculpture, which is down at the sewage works. It's a solar 30 kilowatt solar farm that reads the word imagine when you see it from the air. So we've been working hard, doing what we can as a small community to try and come up with solutions to climate change, put ourselves in a position of leadership when it comes to climate change. And we think being in a position of leadership puts our advantage at a real, our region at a huge advantage in terms of attracting renewable energy jobs to our part of the world. And that's a big part of our message, is that when you look at the economic threats of COVID and the bushfires and the impact that climate change is going to have on us, we want to look at how we can keep our region vibrant. And I think one great way to do that is to attract renewable energy jobs to our part of the world, where we can attract tradies, electricians down here, installing solar panels, building wind farms, constructing pumped hydro stations, installing battery storage plants, which we can do at a community level. That's going to bring jobs into our town. It's going to keep young families in our region. It's going to keep our schools full. It's going to keep our sporting clubs active. What better way in a time of a climate crisis than to be putting our region into a position of leadership, attracting jobs? We've got all the ingredients in our part of the world to set ourselves up so that we can produce all our energy from renewable energy and store it. We've got a great solar resource, we've got wind, we've got biomass with the dairy industry, we've got great options for pumped hydro facilities for storage of renewable energy. We've got it all down here, and we want it all down here. We want the jobs down here. We want to keep our towns full, busy, vibrant, and one way to do that is with renewable energy, which is why we've set up a 100% renewable energy target by 2030. And we've actually got council, the local Bega Valley Shire Council, to adopt that target or at least incorporate it into their climate strategy. So I think we've made some inroads. We've started putting ourselves up in a position of leadership. I think eternity is a really, really strong word to use when you're talking about climate change. When you look at the last IPCC report, 2020 or 2019, when they looked at the planet becoming 1.5 degrees warmer by the end of this decade, 2 degrees warmer by mid-century, and they described a 2 degree warming as catastrophic. Mid-century is not that far away. And a 4 degree warming by the end of the century, and a 4 degree warming is going to be very difficult to have organised human civilization in a planet that's 4 degrees warmer. So we face an existential threat. You know, my kids, when they're my age, are going to be living in a climate that's described as catastrophic by the IPCC. That's not eternity. That's an existential threat. And to fix that, if we want eternity, if I want my kids to have the same sort of environment that I grew up in, we have to fight for it. We have to look at immediate solutions to climate change if my grandkids want to have the same life expectancy as me. So I'm fighting for eternity. I'm fighting for a climate where my grandkids don't have to worry about the next summer, living in dread of the next bushfire season, where they can go skiing in the winter and know that they're going to be able to ski on real snow, and not be worried about rising sea levels. So what I want with our campaign is to help us create a climate that my kids and my grandkids can thrive in. Where they don't have to be worried about the next bushfire season, where they can go skiing in the winter, they don't have to be worried about rising sea levels, the death of the Great Barrier Reef, changing rainfall patterns, droughts, floods. My kids don't deserve to have to worry about that year after year, and it's a problem we can fix. It's something that is imminently fixable. We've got the technology to move right now, and so what our group is fighting for is eternity, a climate where my kids can thrive, where my grandkids can thrive and don't have to worry about the next climate disaster. We are fighting for eternity.
Subscribe below to find out more about the audio recordings and to be kept up to date when more are made available.